The use of her last name startled the woman, and it took her a moment to react.
Keep the hammer lifted, Baron. We can't leave. The wreck teams haven't found another dish yet. Soon enough, we'll leave this rad pit and start taking over the East Coast baronies one by one, and then all of them.
The Baron pulled on the sig, watching the men dispatch the assortment of animals on the ground with grisly thumps.
Fuck it. We have to leave, or the next wave of muties will get us for sure. We can seize some small vill and stay there until finding another dish. But we leave in the morning. That's an order.
Sir, the slaves are dead. And the men are completely exhausted.
The Baron cast away the sig.
I don't fucking care! Feed them jolt, use a whip, but we leave tomorrow at dawn.
Yes, my lord.
Sheffield merely grunted in reply, his mind on the closing storm clouds and circling muties above. In space, the kite resumed control over its comps once more and began a diagnostic check. Floating peacefully in orbit, the machine began once more to store the trickle of electricity from its great solar wings in giant accumulators, patiently waiting for its next order.
Wait!
Mildred rushed into the control room. The companions turned as a group, pulling blasters from their clothing and cocking back hammers.
Something wrong?
Squinting, the one-eyed warrior tried to look past the physician to see if she was being chased by anything.
We're out of time. I decided to check the outside using the periscope just to keep track of how it was going.
Doc holstered the Lamar.
Ash storm still raging, madam?
Mildred frowned.
God, I wish it was. The valley outside is flat rock. I think there was an acid rain and it mixed with the ash, making a kind of concrete.
So?
Ryan thumbed the safety back on the Sig Sauer.
Fire blast. Sheffield and his troops will be moving soon. Have to.
No cover for the Vill. It's in plain sight now.
Worse. They'll soon be running out of food.
Silas must have left behind a stockpile of supplies, but even the Blues need farmers and hunters for most of their food.
Nothing will grow out there. And there's not a leaf of grass for the local animals to eat.
Eat each other. They and the Blues.
The more muties attack, the more they'll be alert and ready for trouble. It's going to make it triple hard for us to night creep them now.
But now we're racing against the clock. Sheffield will know all of this better than we, and could move the computers and his troops to another location any hour of the day or night.
They move, and we lose our back door into their base.
Exactly.
Shit!
So we hit them tonight. Trader always used to say, folks were at their weakest just before a move.
Sheffield will be low on wall guards because he'll have to send out scouts, and a lot of their ammo will be packed away for the journey where they can't reach it fast.
Glancing at the Matran's door, Ryan didn't speak for a moment as he mentally reviewed their meager collection of armament.
Okay, this is the last jump. Tonight we use the tunnel to reach the quarry and hit the Blues.
But not at midnight, because that's when most folks attack. We wait another hour and then go in. Never do the expected.
You're learning.
We got enough plastique?
JB rested a hand on the bag of explosives sitting on the control console.
Barely. We sure as shit could use another couple of pounds. Every ounce helps at this point.
Well, let's move.
Ryan slid the Kalashnikov over his shoulder and walked into the chamber. Once JB was seated on the floor, Ryan closed the heavy door and quickly joined his old friend, both patiently waiting for the artificial mists to tear their bodies into subatomic particles and throw them once more into the electronic abyss. Breaking the Hummer close to the hillock, Colette and a sect man stepped from the wag and quickly drew their weapons.
Sons of bitches.
Fire!
The two cut loose with their rapid fires at the muty dogs, savaging the human corpses on the smooth ground. Startled, the beasts snarled and slavered at the loud noises, as they were torn to pieces trying to protect the meat on the ground. The few survivors scampered away over the swells of rock. Walking closer, the Sekhmen kicked over a tattered body still wearing the rags of a blue shirt.
Radmi, it's Quinn! Shit. A cousin of mine from the Shens, poor bastard.
Colette stared at the face and body of the other corpse. The man was old, with almost no clothing, and shackles still circled his skinny ankles. It was the old slave sent to work the keypad of the door to the redoubt.
Strange.
She touched the corpse and lifted a broken rib bone into the headlights of the Hummer.
These men weren't aced by the muties. Some sort of blast did this damage.
The segman gazed at their Hummer.
An explosion? Fuel tank's still there, and I don't see any grenholes anywhere. What could have blown up?
Looking around, Colette soon spied the culprit. Laying in the grass, covered with blood and chewed intestines, was the butt and twisted frame of a pre-dark pistol. Where the metal wasn't burned or shattered, the chrome finish was still mirror shiny.
I know this weapon.
She spat on the remains of the weapon and wiped the gore on her pants.
Yes, see here. This weird logo on the grip. This blaster is from something called the Anthill. This used to belong to Silas.
Dr. Jamais-Vous? Yeah. I sort of remember him having a shiny blaster on his bed table. After he got chilled, we never found it in his rooms. Figured somebody stole it.
And why didn't you report a missing wep?
Nervous under her stern gaze, the Blue got formal.
We informed the Baron, Sec Chief Hogan. It would be his decision to tell you or not.
True enough.
Why hadn't Sheffield mentioned it? Was he hiding some plan from her again? Curiously, the Sec Man glanced around at the smooth, featureless ground.
No way it could have been in the Hummer. Wonder where the White Hare found the blaster.
Colette snapped her head toward the hill. She felt a sudden surge of excitement, more powerful than any sex.
Inside the hill! The slave found the entry code, got inside, and found Silas's trick gun!
What do you mean, trick?
Ignoring the question, the woman rushed to the black door and ran her hands across its marred expanse, then looked down and found a crumpled mass of paper. Kneeling, she smoothed out the printed sheets. The first 18 pages had pencil lines drawn through the number letter combinations. Going on a hunch, she tapped in the first line, not crossed out. Nothing happened.
Smart little fucker. The slave found the code and waited for the right time before attacking.
Which meant that somewhere within these 18 pages was the code to enter the pre-dark redoubt. That would give her access to the jump chamber Sheffield had recently told her about, which would be her key away from him and complete freedom. She would soon be in charge. If there were any weapon stores inside the redoubt, she could raise an army and take control of the dish from Sheffield. Using the kite to burn herself more than a vill or a dozen vills, Colette could become the first emperor of the new America. Everything she ever wanted was waiting behind that black metal door, and the key lay in her hand. She'd been told that the Matrans chamber inside the Quonset hut had been sealed in some manner by Silas before he died. Nobody could open the door to the chamber but the old man, and only then after he had placed his face to a hole in the console and let a red light play over his left eye. Sheffield had planned on stealing the eye and sealing it in a jar of alcohol to keep it fresh, but then that bastard Ryan had fried the white coat to a crisp and ruined the plan. Now their only hope of gaining access to a Matrans unit was through the locked door of this redoubt. It was maddening that the Blues had a gateway inside their ville and couldn't use the chamber.
Big door. What is it? Some sort of bomb shelter?
Colette worked the bolt on her Ingram and turned. Before the segment could react, she stitched him with a long burst, the copper-jacketed rounds tearing the man apart until he resembled the partially eaten bodies on the cold, smooth ground. Easing off the trigger, Colette turned to the keypad and began to tap in the first code. She waited, then did the second, then the third. Her anger rose, but she fought it under control. Clearly, this would take some time. Ryan and JB braced themselves for a surge of weakness or nausea, but neither occurred.
About fucking time we had an easy jump.
It was a short jump, which means we're still close to Shiloh.
Reaching out, Ryan touched the wall.
This is an armor glass. Wonder where the hell we are.
Looking around, the men noted they were in a small chamber with plastic walls painted a military green to waist height, then a dull navy gray to the ceiling. However, this clearly wasn't a redoubt, but a simple gateway, a Matrans chamber set outside the subterranean pre-dark fortifications. They had encountered a couple of homemade gateways, which always meant big trouble. Checking their weapons,